Hey, what's up, all of you who are tuning in to check out our latest message right here online. Listen, it's going to be a great message, and we hope that you enjoy, but even more than that, we would love to see you in person at one of our live weekend worship experiences. If you're not in our area, we want to encourage you to find a local church where you live, because we just believe that we're no good alone, we're better together, and you need family. So if you're not in our area, make sure you find a place where you live, where you can attend a physical church and become family. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the message and have a good day.
Really, thank y'all. It does mean so much to be here at Forward Church. I am very honored. I told him, backstory, and then I'll get into the message. For the past 3.5 years, me and my wife, she couldn't be here this week, and she's very sad that she couldn't be here because she loves you guys. She just says not enough to move to Chiefland yet, but hey, we're working on her. Me and Bradley are praying hard, but her mom has Alzheimer's, and so we can't leave that situation right now. We're dealing with some family members that are on drugs and stuff. So, you know, our home right now is to be with her and to be the leadership and the guidance of that family. And so I just continue to ask for prayers that everything will go smoothly with that, and that, you know, God will give us peace over the whole situation, which he's been in control. We, last week, God aligned it that we could hire a full-time caregiver that works 5 days a week. And so God's really blessed us with that. So just want to give you a brief info of what's been going on. But I told Bradley when he called, he said, Dad wants you to preach. And I was like, has your dad fell and busted his head or something? Because he knows the whole situation. You know, I haven't been in the pulpit and hadn't really, we've been taking care of mom for, 3.5 years now. So we haven't really got involved in a so-called church, not like Forward. I applaud you guys. I know when my pastor would always skip out of town, that was a break, no church. So, but you guys are here and y'all are faithful, and we thank you guys for that. I do. As all those times practicing, going down the road and nobody's in the car with you, no faces to look at, it's a lot better to be able to say something and see faces, whether you like it or don't like it. But, usually I just picture everybody bald like me, so it makes it a lot better. But thank you again. I when he called me and he's like, hey, you want to speak, Dad wants you to speak, and I was like, dude, I hadn't got a sermon up in like 3 years. What? I said, I'm going to preach on prodigal son. He said, dude, you got to come back home to be a prodigal son, and you ain't in Forward yet, so you can't preach on prodigal son. I was like, dude, how dare you? Really? I said, it's like that. He said, oh, it's like that. You can believe it. So we don't talk as much as we used to. We used to talk like every other day. But I chose to move up in the corporate world. And so my time is in meetings a lot. And I don't get to. So like when he calls now, I send him the voicemail and I get a quick text message. Really? He's quick on the... I don't see how y'all do it. I'm just not that fast at texting. I'm still on hey, and he's done sent a whole sentence to me, and so. But anyway, he's like, yeah, what's your title? I was like, I'll get back with you. So I prayed and I prayed. I said, God, you got to speak to me. What do you want me? And really, I'm preaching on the prodigal son. So. But anyway, he texted me last week, and he said, hey, I need to do a screenshot. I don't guess he put it up there. Oh, did he? The road back home. Ha! That's pretty good. That looks like my shoes. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. I have to make jokes to keep from crying, so I'm just telling y'all. I am a big crybaby. And I've done good. I've kept it together pretty good so far. Usually I'm bawling about right now. And so, but I'm just humbled. I really am. To be able to speak to you guys and to bring the gospel is a very big deal in my life. I was always taught that you don't mess with the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't play games. You don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And so I take this very serious. I believe that God has ordained me to do this. I don't do it as much as I really want to, because it's a big responsibility. And thank you, guys. I'm going to look at each one of you guys and tell you thank you for being here this morning. So my title, I had two titles. And so I'm going to read the first title. And I was like, they might get offended. I might not need to say that. But anyway, I'm going to read it. From the Pig Pen to the Palace. That was going to be the first title. And then I sort of dialed it back some because I didn't want nobody to think that I was calling them a pig. So anyway, the road back home. So in Luke 15:11, sorry guys, got to put these on. I'm old, see all the gray in my beard. This is new too, so I'm not used to it. So if you see me doing this, that's what's going on. Luke 15:11, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young son got his stuff together, and he set off to a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the world, and he began to be in need. Verse 15, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods and the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17, and when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went towards home." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for this awesome time, Lord. Thank you for the worship. The praise team did a tremendous job under the anointing. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to bless the rest of the time that we have together. I pray that you use this mouth to fulfill in someone's heart what you're trying to tell them. God, just use us all to be better servants for you. I ask, Lord, that you just bless me. Let me be able to speak the words that you have given me so that the people can receive. And I will give you all the praise, and I'll give you all the glory and honor. And everybody said, amen. All right, so basically, I wanted to talk a little bit about the road back home. So, you know, getting back home, I don't know if any of you have ever, I'm sure all of y'all went on trips before. And so, doesn't it seem like it always, you always get there a lot faster than when you come back home? It takes forever. Like, when I came down here yesterday, man, it seemed like no time. I was down in Gainesville. I was like, man, I made that pretty good time. But I can tell you, today going back home, it's going to seem like forever. And so the road back home is a lot harder than what we do when we leave the road. So a lot of times what happens is we're like this guy right here is, we get greedy. We want our stuff. We want to do what we want to do. We don't want nobody telling us, just like I said at the beginning of the service, is I've been a church kid all my life, so I know how to play the game. And there's a lot of people that know how to play the game, the church game. We know when to raise our hand. We know when to sit down. We know how to come to the front. But steadily, we're moving further and further away from home. And so, you know, it's disturbing because I've been there. I know. I read some statistics on pastors who walk away from the faith. It's astronomical because of the pressure and the hype that they supposedly have to live up to. I'm not one of those hype preachers. I'm not Bradley. I don't stand on ladders. I don't climb across the ladder on a little bitty board. I watched one of his. It came up on a feed for somehow. I was like, what is this fool doing? And but anyway, he does it, and he's good at it. And I guess that's why I love him to death for it. And there's times where I tell him, hey, dude, you need to draw it back. You know, calm down a little bit. Because I don't know if y'all listen to podcasts, but I listen to it. And this is Bradley Weber, if y'all ever want to hear it on podcast. And I'm like, dude, nobody can hear you. Calm down. Slow down. Am I lying? I'm serious. So I have to calm him down a little bit. Hey, slow down, dude. Let's hear what the Word of God is saying. But I'm ADHD, but he's ADDHD, you know. So I think that's why God put us together, is because serious, big time. But anyway, the road back home, the first thing I think what happens that we've got to do to get to the road back home, and this guy, he's feeding pigs. I don't know if any of you guys have ever had pigs or fed pigs. This is the country, so I'm sure y'all have seen them. But my uncle had a pig pen. Oh, my Lord Jesus. That is horrible. And to say that we eat bacon from those pigs, I still struggle with that sometimes. But we had to go, and pigs don't care. Pigs are nasty. I mean, they are nasty. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, you're nasty also. And I was like, oh, that hurt. I was like, well, I'm not like a pig. He said, you snort, don't you? I was like, no, not technically, I don't. But he's like, you do when you speak garbage out your mouth. I was like, wow, okay, God, I got that. Understand that. But he's feeding pigs, and he's hungry, and he's starving, and he's like, you know what? The servants, man, I used to have it made. I'll just go back home. Well, going back home is a lot harder than when we left. Because what happens is the world is pulling on us, and we've been out in the world for so long. You know, there's some guys at work, they call me Pawpaw. I don't know why. But they call me Pawpaw, and I guess because I'm the oldest one out of our bunch. I think the youngest guy is 38. And so I've got a little age on them. But they listen to me, and I don't know why, because I'm usually wrong all the time. But they do some stupid stuff, and I guess I'm the one that sort of brings them back into line and say, hey, guys, we can't talk like that in front of employees. And so I've built a relationship with those guys. And so being able to fit into the world, it's a lot harder on this corner when we decide to go back home. We can either keep going the way we're going, or we can step off when there's no path and decide to go back home. And I think the first element of, if you're taking notes, is pride. We have to let pride go. And that's a big thing for me. I pride myself on doing the best job I can, whether it's at work, it's in my family, or it's at church. And a lot of times I don't do a great job, but I try to do the best that God has given me. And Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. And so I think a lot of times is when we get that prideful spirit on us, nobody can tell us anything. There's no wrong in our eyes as far as what we're doing. We know a pastor he just wouldn't let his pride go. And it cost us our church. I mean, the church split. And it was unfortunately that the church split. And, you know, I heard the religious people say, well, if they had their eyes on God. No, it takes a man of God to lead the shepherd. I mean, to lead the sheep. And if the man of God is not going to let his pride go and step away, he had capable leaders to step up and take over, and he could continue to be nourished and back to health. But because of the pride in his life, you know, he didn't make it back home. And the church split, and unfortunately, the sheep was scattered. And that's something that weighs on my heart a lot, is to make sure that when I speak, that I speak truth, and to let you know that I'm probably the most genuine person you're going to meet, whether I like you or not. I'm going to speak truth, and unfortunately, some people don't like me for that, but that's the way life is, and you can't make everybody happy, but pride will do that to you. I used to have a big pride problem. I mean, I would never ask for help. I don't care. Never. But when you get to a point in your life and you've done all you know to do, like with this situation with my mother-in-law, I didn't know anything else to do. So we sought out help. And of course, my pride was like, we can handle it. Nobody needs to know. But the more involved in Alzheimer's that you learn, man, it's a cruel and ugly disease. And I pray that God will give us healing for that disease, because it's horrible. It is horrible. And if you've ever experienced or know someone that's going through it, my heart goes out to you, because I know where you're at on that. If nobody else can tell you anything else, God knows. Where you're at. God knows your situation. And even though that home seems so far away, as long as you trust him, you're getting there a little bit quicker. The next thing you got to have is determination to get back home. You know, he could have easily said, you know what, I want to go back home, but I'm feeding pigs. My dad's never going to accept me. I'll be a disgrace to him. How many times do we fall away from the faith and we say, I'm such a disgrace to Pastor Dennis or Pastor Weber B? How many times do we say that? How many times do we say, you know, I failed my family. I failed my wife. I can tell you, over the past 3.5 years, I have failed her so many times, because I've let this flesh take over when I should have let my spirit life take over. But when you see your loved ones hurting, it does something to you. And you get a little fleshy. You get a little pride. And so you have to have that determination in your life where you're saying, you know what? I'm going back home. I'm going to get back to the place where I know that God has called me to. And that's what God's calling us here today, is to go back home. Go back to our first love. What was our first love? When we came to Christ. There's such a fulfillment in coming to Christ that it just warms your heart. You know, we're coming up on the Thanksgiving season, and I mean, it's like in, 4 days? So, yeah, we're gonna eat. We're going to eat some pigs. We're going to eat some turkeys. And we're going to eat steaks or whatever your tradition is, you're going to eat well. But don't forget about that. Don't forget about your love for each other and for Christ. I mean, it's a time of being thankful and being around friends and family. My son, Zach, he got married 3-4 weeks ago. So this is their first Thanksgiving as a married couple. And so, boy, they really took on a big challenge. They're having the whole family come to their house this year for Thanksgiving. I was like, brave joker. I said, he hadn't learned the tricks yet. But anyway, but everybody's going to their house, and we're all bringing a dish and eat. But even his mom, which we have a good relationship. For all you people, I've been divorced. Sorry, but life happens. And so even his mom's going to be there, and we're going to be thankful that we're all together, and we're going to eat, and we're going to celebrate their lives together. And that's what God's called us all to do, is to get back home, to get back to under his presence. You know, we come in here and we go through, I'm about to step off and stuff I shouldn't, but we go through these traditions. And to me, it's sick. All right? Not saying Pastor Bradley or Pastor Dennis, he don't, no, I'm telling you, Pastor Dennis is the most straightforward. Anybody know D? He's serious, especially when it comes to the gospel. But other churches I've been in, they make you jump, work out. I mean, you feel like an aerobic class instead of the gospel. Why can't we just come in here, love on people, go outside these doors and love on people outside these doors and be who God's called us to be, instead of coming in here thinking we got to have every program in the world where God called us to love. Love each other. Love the world. All right? If we don't do anything else today, is love on people. Show God through your actions. When we go out to this world, I mean, Miss Weber, I hate to tell on you, but she told a story during devotion. We tight like that, so she's got stories on me, I got stories on her. I ain't going to uncover you now. But there was something that happened. And I can relate, because I'm a person in customer service all the time, 24/7, 7 days a week. My phone never stops, all right? Because I work for Coke, our Coke customers, they don't have a Monday through Friday schedule like I won't. They have, if I run out of Coke, I'm calling you. So, and sometimes it gets aggravating. So when I go into stores and I find a Aquafina bottle in my cooler, sometimes I don't show the love of Jesus. You know, and shame on me, because I should. But it's my job. And I look at it as, God gave me that job, so I want to do the best I can for that job. But I can do a little bit nicer instead of getting the Aquafina bottle and throwing it across the road. But I've only done that once. No judgment. And the nice lady, it was you, brought me the water. I asked Amy, I was like, she's not going to get offended for me not drinking that water, is she? Sorry, I got to represent. But it's our job to proclaim the gospel 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, if we call ourselves a Christian. And we have to have the determination to do it because of what's inside of us. Anybody can call themselves a Christian, but if they're not determined to be a Christian, they're just playing games. I wrote this down, and the determination to make it back home, I think of a story of Elijah and Elisha. And the determination that Elisha had is remarkable. So if you don't know the story of Elijah and Elisha, Elijah came by. He threw his mantle upon Elisha, and Elisha was plowing with some oxen, and something changed about him. He felt the anointing of God, and he left everything. He left home, and he followed this prophet. And so, pick up in 2 Kings 2 and 2, says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And so in 2 Kings 2 and 4 says, Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. So the determination of not staying when somebody tells you to stay. And he says, surely as you live and as God lives, I'm not leaving you. I'm going. So back in those days, they didn't have a car. They didn't have a scooter. They had oxen, but you probably walked faster than oxen would. So they just had their feet. So he said, we're going to go down from Gilgal to Bethel. That's 12 miles, I think. Yeah, 12 miles. 12 miles walking that he followed the prophet. And he said, as surely as you live and as God lives, I'm going to follow you. That's determination. He didn't do it one time. 2 Kings 2 and 7. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me from Bethel to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Jericho. Guess what? That's another 12 miles. And we can't come to church on Sunday in a car that's air conditioned mostly. If you don't have a condition, you're out a window. So to come sit in a nice facility that you guys have, he's went 12 miles one way, 12 miles the other way. And now Elijah does it to him again. Says, then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. So now he's went 12, 12. Guess how far it is to Jordan? 21 miles to Jordan from where he was at, Jericho. That's determination. You got to have determination in your walk back home. So y'all thought I forgot about that, but I hadn't. If we're determined that we're going to get back to where God, then we're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to cast off all those cares that weigh us down. And a lot of times it's not easy. You know, there's situations in this room, I'm sure, that I don't know about, don't need to know about. It's between you and God, if you're married, your spouse, or your family. There's situations that are going to get you riled up, but you got to have the determination that you're going to make it back home. You're going to make it back to where God's called you to be and to work in. Every one of us have a calling on our life. It might not be preaching. It might not be singing. As my wife says, that's not your calling, son. I got it. But mine is leadership. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I have a great group of guys that I'm over. I'm over about 24 guys, and we were the number one in our district. Because of, not me, but because of my team. My team does above and beyond going to that distance. And they want to be number one. And so they're going to cast off everything that's going to keep them. If it's numbers or whatever it may be, whatever life is throwing at you right now, you need to put that to the side and look towards Christ and say, God, I want to be who God's called me to be. Whether it's an usher or opening a door or putting this podium up here, it doesn't matter. A servant, you got to have that heart, and you're saying, God, I want to go back home to where I know I'm safe. And that's what going back home is. I'm going to be transparent. I can't tell you the last time I felt home until today. And I'm not just saying that. And I know Riley's probably going, it won't be long, he'll be down. Seriously. Because I feel like I'm home. I feel like the love of Christ is in this house so much. I see the love in all of your faces and how you react with each other and how you serve. And, you know, I stalk every one of y'all on Facebook, if y'all don't know that. I'm a stalker, sorry. But I saw the pictures of the Thanksgiving meal last week and the joy on all of you guys' faces and while you're eating that turkey and that pig. So I see all that, and the joy of this house. You can say that this is the home. And if people have left here and you see them out in the street, you don't need to say, y'all left us. We don't even like y'all no more. You need to show them that Christ loves everybody. Who knows? This might be their home. And they want to know that they can come back home. You know how when I walk in at my mom and dad's house, you think I ring the doorbell? No. I walk on in. Mom, I'm home. That's the way it should be in this house. When we see loved ones outside that have chosen to leave us for some unreason, we shouldn't have ill feelings towards them. Dude, if God called them somewhere else to minister, bless them and move on. But what we want to do is we want to use, number one, we want to use our pride. Well, they didn't like us. That's your pride. They moved on. Bless them, and you move on. Because you're not going to go any further in God's kingdom if you're holding aught against somebody leaving this house. God is building a kingdom with the people in this church. Everybody that's in this house today is who's supposed to be here at this time. See, that's the, I don't know. I get myself in trouble because I don't speak religion. I hate it. And I think we need to be real with each other. If I'm real, then people will know I'm real. If you're fake, they're going to know it. Do you think when he was feeding the pigs and he was down there wishing he could get one of those pigs knew he wasn't a pig? And I don't know if you know about pigs, but they squeal and they run away from you until you throw that bucket of slop. And then they're going to be your best friend. But if you're out there and you're talking about people and you're not being who God's called you to be, they know. The world knows. And it's sad that we can't be more like Christ. But that's what he's called us to do, is to be like Christ. To get back to this place where we're at home, and when we can walk out of here and somebody cuts us off, we're not doing something that we don't need to be doing with some finger gestures. But we, God bless you, and move on. Yes, it's hard. I ain't going to tell you it's not hard. Dude, this past couple of years, I've seen a side of this Mike Colley that I never thought would have come out. But when situations happen and somebody attacked my wife, Jesus didn't come out of me. I'm telling you. And that's just real. So if I've offended y'all, I apologize, but I'm being real with you. I wish Jesus would have come out. I want to lay hands on the man, but it wasn't with Jesus. All right? But because I didn't have a home, I didn't feel like I was at home, I was out by myself, things happen. When you forsake the fellowship of this house, things are going to come at you. They are going to come at you hard. And without a body or a family or someone there, thank God for Pastor B. Because I'm telling you, I would not be here today if it hadn't been for this man who has walked with me side by side for 4 years through all this garbage we've been going through. He calls me out of the blue and prays for me. That's the type of fellowship that you've got to have with the body of Christ. Uh-oh. I got 1 minute. I ain't even close. People are watching you and hoping you fall. Bottom line. There's people in this community that want Forward Church to fall. That don't make you. Don't break you. The biggest thing is, do you have the grit not to quit? There's churches all over the world. And if we get where we need to be as Christians, it doesn't matter if they put in my type of work, there's a convenience store here. Across the street, there's one. Next door, there's one. There's one popping up every day. Do I get mad because they're opening another store? Does the people? No. Churches are going to open day in, day out. I promise you there's not enough churches being opened that this world, We need to have every church filled up, not just Forward Church, but the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church. All the churches around here need to be filled with God's people. Our nation is in serious trouble. Whether you like our leadership or whether you don't, whether you're Democrat or you're Republican, don't matter to me. I'm saying our nation under one God. And so, without determination of being that Christian and being that person and being ready to go back home and feel the love of Christ, nothing's going to change. So, I got 4 minutes. Forgiveness is the last one. Without forgiveness, we're nothing. talking about hard getting ready for a service and knowing that you got to forgive the man that hit your wife, that you got to forgive the man that has stolen money from your family. You got to forgive the man for cussing you and threatening your son. But I couldn't do this today if I didn't forgive him. Man, that was a hard prayer. I remember sitting there in my bedroom, and I was praying over Melanie at the time because she had a bad day. And you know, when life throws all those things at you and you just don't feel like you're doing good enough in the spirit world, and your wife asked you to pray, gut check. You know? I'm just saying. I wish I could be like B. That joke, you tell him to pray, man, all heaven comes down. I felt like all hell was coming out of me because I didn't feel like I deserved to even talk to Christ. And then I had to forgive the man that done all these horrible things. And then the scripture come back to me of Jesus being on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so I'm having to pray over my wife and try to be strong. And all of a sudden I say, God, I forgive Jack. And my flesh said, what in the heck did you just do? And then I said it again. And then I said it the third time. And then I actually believed it. I forgive him. I don't like his situation. I don't like what he done to our family. But I forgive him. And I started praying directly for God to heal him. Heal his addictions. You want to get healing? Start forgiving. You want to go back home? Start forgiving. What did the young man did? He ran home. And he made it back home. 12:05. He ran back home and he told his dad, he said, Dad, I don't deserve to be here. Just like basically God, I don't deserve to be on this stage when there's other capable people that could have spoke this morning. But I asked forgiveness and I moved on. And I said, God, use this vessel one more time. And I started praying for the people that I felt wronged us. And I felt healing come. This morning, I want you guys to feel healing. Not because of what I've done. I ain't done nothing but up here and talked. But there's some of you that are really, really hurting. Really hurting. And you ain't told anyone. Nobody knows anything that has happened. And if you have told them, you feel like they don't care. Well, I know someone who does. And he cares. He really does care. And he loves you. And he wants you to come back home and say, Father, I'm here. I don't deserve anything that you have. Anything else. You've gave me everything. You gave me life. You let me wake up again this morning. But guess what the Father did? He fed him. He put a robe around him. And And that's what our Father is going to do to you today. Let's all stand. I held off pretty good. I didn't cry to the end. But God wants to love on some people this morning. He wants you to know that even though you've walked away from Him several times, now there might be everybody here that are saved and sanctified and as the old and on their way to heaven. That's all well and good. But there might be some people here that just need to love on Jesus. And Jesus needs to love on them. Sort of torn up because I don't want to embarrass anyone. It's not my job, but I think there's some good people here, people that can help you, that can shoulder some of the burden. I wish B was here. Because y'all made a difference. They've held us. They've held our arms up. Well, we couldn't hold it up. This morning, there's some people here. You just need somebody to hold your arms up. So I'm asking, no judgment. And if I find out you're judging people, I will come back and haunt you. But there's people here that are hurting. I want you to do something, and I want you to make that first step to come back home. The altars are open, and I believe that there's people here that can love on you and pray for you. They can help you. So if there's anybody here, the altars are open. Come on, I know in a crowd this big, we all have issues. We all need somebody to help us keep our hands up. Can I get a couple men to come and love on this young man and pray for him? See, that's the first step of coming back home, is realizing it and step forward. We don't know, I don't know what this young man is going through. But God does. Are you hurting? Do you feel like you're all alone? I've been there. I can promise you, I've been there. When nobody in this world, you feel like you don't have a friend. Your best friend's in Chiefland, Florida, doing ministry. And you're in Georgia. And there's not a church family that I can go to Yeah, I could go and play church. Because I've been there. I've done that too. But I came back home. And I know that when I go back to Georgia, the Forward Church is strong. It has great leadership. It's got some godly families. And I'm proud to say that this is a home for me.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.